is Rob Stone from Fox Sports. You are listening to the Unused Substitute. Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
This is a late night, I guess for someone my age, this is a late night edition of the Unused Substitutes. We're live after the 1-1 draw up in Cincinnati. We're going to talk some post-game about that. We're going to talk about the Louisville game from last weekend. We're going to preview Charleston ahead this weekend. And for the first time ever, we are going to open up the phone lines. Probably in about like 10, 15 minutes. So stay tuned in. I'll put the number out there and I'll tweet it again and give you guys a chance to call in. This is Matt, as usual. I'm joined by, I believe, Daniel.
I got my Jim Jeffries tickets in the mail today.
Nice. So you actually found like decent priced ones.
Yeah, because at first they weren't. Those were the pre-sale ones that they jacked up.
Ah.
But anyway. So there's a lot of soccer to talk about tonight, and I'm not sure
those tickets,
a lot of it's good.
It's fair to Midland. We'll call it that. Although I do want to check out something here real quick. I believe we're back, according to Reddit, which is always a scary thing to say, back on top of the conference right now. Oh, yeah, we are. With a point from this game puts us on 10 points, even with Louisville and Cincinnati. And we are Louisville and St. Louis, and we are plus 7 on goal differential. So top of the half of the table, Mom.
I'll take it. It's way early.
It's very early.
So I don't want to talk too much about that. Hey, but it's
been a while since
good.
We can say that, though. Like, and I don't even mean like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's not NASL where there's a 9-game spring season and we're in the playoffs. Like,
I know you've clinched a playoff spot by halftime of your second game over there. All right, so like we said,
only if you're the Cosmos.
Well, no, you have that wrapped up before the game even starts. So we're going to talk about the draw in Cincinnati, but we're going to skip back a little bit and go in chronological order and talk about the loss in Louisville. I had it differently in the notes. How do you want to do it?
I'd rather start with Louisville and dive back into this one.
All right, so last Saturday, Louisville City 2-1 for the Rowdies. First loss in the season, first goals allowed on the season, first road game of the season, first game on turf on the season. I believe that's turf over there, or is that?
It's a hybrid because the outfield is grass, and then they throw some turf over the dirt, which is lower than the field, and I don't even want to call that a, like, when what's his name from Louisville was on and he said, like, even they don't, the home team doesn't like playing on it. I did not expect it to be that much of a, like, disaster.
Yeah, I'll say I didn't look at any past games of theirs or anything going into last week or, you know, at all. But one thing, the consensus I've gotten from Twitter, I think, since we've made the USL switch, is that Louisville has a crappy field.
Again, that's to put it mildly.
So I think I know what you're going to count in the ugly for this week, but we'll start with good and bad. What do you got under good? Tell me something.
Stewart making substitutes. his late game adjustments were, you know, I like to see it. They obviously didn't fully pay off. I mean, we can't really fault the team for the second goal. Throwing the kitchen sink at their net to try to equalize at least, and got caught on the counter. I think maybe it was just Collins and Bowden are back there. It happens. I'm not too mad about the second goal. I mean, you're upset that Akira went down, and it was just ugly all over. But I do like the adjustments that were made, and I'll take it.
Yeah, the amount of time Rowdy's players spent on the turf clutching their heads in the first half was definitely not a highlight of the evening. And then Akira goes out with what's been called a hamstring injury, wasn't available tonight. Won't know his status for the weekend, probably for another day or two.
I mean, if it's indeed a hammy, he's out for a month or two.
You would think that, but then they claim they only loaned this Renaris back from North Carolina for a game. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens, because otherwise you think he'd be back by for them, and we wouldn't have a backup keeper at that point.
True. I mean, like everything else, hurry up and wait.
All right. So, yeah, you know, thinking about that second goal, it's one of those situations where I can almost hear what Stu would say if we asked him about it. It doesn't matter if you lose 1-0 or if you lose 2-0, you're still going to lose. So if you give up a goal while you're throwing everyone forward to get one, you don't want to see it, but it's understandable. I guess really the only highlight of the game is Patterson makes his debut and keeps us to only giving up one goal on the differential, as well as the 3 points as well. So had a couple chances. I mean, I had another chance, or I want to say at least one more chance after his goal to get another one and maybe equalize, but it just wasn't meant to be.
All three strikers have scored on their season debut.
Did we? I'm trying to remember. Did we even have all of our strikers score last season?
eventually, I think, maybe. No, Preciado never actually put one in there.
Yeah, he never did he?
Yeah, Preciado never scored. But we, so, because Deshaun Brown scored, 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in, something like that?
Right.
And Georgie scored in the first game, and then Patterson scored in his debut. That's actually, for this team, there's your silver lining, folks.
The goals are actually going to come from the forward position this year, as opposed to praying for everything out of the midfield like last time.
Let's get crazy, because we're still averaging, outside of Toronto, we've only scored one goal a game.
The way our defense is, though, that might be good enough. We might be playing Buccaneer soccer, where you just try and get one
defense wins championships. Defense, is that cliche?
Yeah. Anything else under the goods?
No, let's just move past this disaster. Really
bad. Akira.
Akira, why we reverted to like those over the top long ball style, that pitch, I don't even have words. I really don't. How do you even call that like a field? Like,
right.
You can't even move. Like, it's probably the same size as our like 8v8 field, and there's no space on that.
Yeah, I'm definitely just counting the field in general up under the ugly. Bad, as you can say, the injury, injuries, although the other two guys who went down early both played on. Just not a pretty night. Do you pick a man of the match for this? How do you?
I had Damian Lowe again for that one. I mean, it was bad, but he still was busting his butt out there.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I don't really have one name even set in my head. I'm just going to take a pass on that one.
All right.
I wouldn't argue against Lowe, but I really can't put together any thought in my head. Another good I will say is we had a nice crowd down at Shamrock for the watch party. Rocking the
I did see that
sponsor training. Hey, we had like at one point there were like three or four other people in the bar who weren't watching the game, and they eventually gave up and went outside because everybody else in the bar was like 20 something in there to watch the Rowdies, joined by a couple team employees as well. Like, we might be nice. Far away, and we might have a little bit smaller crowd, but we do get the VIPs. So that was kind of fun. Thanks to everybody who came out. We'll The Tifo party never came off, though, unfortunately. Lots of different reasons, but we're going to do it again sometime soon so we can have some more decoration up there in the stadium this year. What was your big stat of the match?
I, like an idiot, I actually just closed the stats there and I didn't write it down. Let me get back there. I tried to move on from that game. What the F? How did I do this? I don't know where I am right now.
I'll hop in there's a couple different ones. You mentioned the kind of hoof and the long ball. 418 total passes, 87 long passes on the night, so nearly 25% were of the long variety. Go back to the attack, 15 shots. So again, you know, putting shots on target. I mean, putting shots, but only two were on target, and only one went in the goal. So, you know, that's not great. You can say the passes maybe. I'm going to go with two shots on target. I mean, if you're going to put 15 shots on, you've got to get some more on frame to try and get some good chances out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think my stat is actually coupled with tonight's for a point because we've had 6 yellow cards in 2 games.
Yeah.
conceded 20 fouls tonight and 15 against Louisville. Like, we're starting to push the envelope a little. I want to go back now and check like what we were doing here at home when we were obviously winning and see if we, you know, if we're more disciplined. Maybe that's something we need to look at. I know Stu likes to have that little bit of
An edge.
Yeah, but when we were playing our passing game, our possession game, and controlling the game, we weren't doing that. Obviously, because we have the ball, so you're really not going to concede.
Right.
So maybe we need to like chill out a little bit. Like
maybe, but at the same time, these last two games, the opponent has been more physical than either of the first three have been.
Yeah, I mean they're better teams.
Maybe the closest as far as tangling it up, but these last two games were way more physical than anything we've seen at Owl Lane so far.
And I can't wait. I honestly can't wait for these guys to come here, where we're on grass and in our house, and we can show them actually how to play soccer.
All right. So, anything else about Louisville?
They suck. I hate them.
Someone burn that stadium down, please. All right, moving on to tonight. Cincinnati 1, Rowdies 1. Rowdies get an absolute, I'm not sure if I can, I'm just going to say it, an absolute thunder bastard from Marcel Schaefer tonight in what, the 9th minute, I think, from, you know, 35, 40 yards out to open up the scoring. And you know me, I love an early goal, especially when it's one you've predicted. So take a bow on that one, young man.
And if you listen to my guest spot, I predicted the scoreline as well. I'm on fire tonight. I'm going to play the lotto tomorrow.
Yeah, we didn't get to really do any pregame for this one because of the short turnaround from Wednesday or Saturday's game. My thought in my head was this was probably going to end up 2-2. So if you tell me beforehand it's a draw and we're getting out of Cincinnati with a point, I'd have taken that. But then looking at the circumstances from tonight, I obviously think, you know, we could have done better. So good tonight, early goal. Schaefer gets his first goal of the season. Able to kind of rotate the lineup a little bit, especially up top and in the midfield, and then again at keeper, but that was a forced by injury, and still play solid. I mean, we were talking about this before the game. If you gave, there's a lot of teams, it looks like, that play this 4-2-3-1 formation. And if you offered any other team in this league the opportunity to have Nanchoff in the middle with Fernandez and Darwin Jones on the wing, they could probably start for pretty much every other team.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, Nanchoff's been playing out of his mind, but I wouldn't mind putting Joe Cole in the middle there and Vingard, Schaefer, and then Darwin and Leo out there. I think that's that was actually my original lineup with Vingard and Schaefer as the double pivot back there, and Jones, Cole, and Fernandez. I would like to see it. The speed, I think, would be good. And Nano's great, too. Like, I mean, it plug and play. You can fit right. anybody. This roster's deep. You can fit anybody anywhere at this point.
You know, I actually kind of wondered that at the beginning tonight. They talked about, you know, he said that Darwin Jones had shown enough the last few games to earn a start. A little bit of that, a little bit of resting some guys with the weekend game coming up. But also, I kind of thought, you know, Darwin Jones comes here from Seattle where he's got some experience playing both at CenturyLink and at Starfire, I think is where Sounders 2 play, on some turf surfaces. And that's kind of been one of our Achilles heels the last few seasons. Maybe I was just meant to take advantage of his experience on that turf.
I mean, you know, 11 wins, 19 losses, and 14 draws on turf is not too bad.
Right. All right, so what's your good, bad, ugly?
I did that. We showed flashes of and bits of who we are and who we were during the winning that to start the season. I don't want to say the winning to start the season with the possession, the passing, whatever. There was moments. There was time of that. Marcel Schaefer opening his account with a glorious, glorious smash that needs to happen for more guys on this team. Just when we're playing our game, like I think if I wish Marcel would have saved that for like the 35th, 40th minute, because I feel like we scored early and just went meh.
Yeah.
And bunkered down. Oh God, the weasel's on. If something goes weird, the weasel's on the desk.
That sounds like your safe word or something.
Yeah. It's not code. There is a ferret that just leapt onto my desk and tried to steal my pen. Anyway, but we play. I mean, the buildup was there. Darwin had a decent game. Leo was great on his on that right side there, and it was good. Neil Collins had a solid game at the back. I really enjoyed him fighting Jibby. Well, arguing there with Jibby there when he decided to clothesline himself on Neil's arm. It wasn't a terrible game. I mean, we're still lacking that ability to unlock teams and to finish.
Let me just interrupt you there for a second. I just threw the call-in number out on Twitter so people could start calling in. So if you hear little noises popping in, don't. It's not your weasel doing anything. At least probably not.
I don't know what she's attacking right now. But I'm sorry. That was my good. We played well.
I got lost watching you for a second there too. yeah, it felt like a road trip where we could have come out of there with more than 1 point. After Saturday night's loss, though, I said I we've got to get at least 4 points out of these next two games, and we're on course for that right now. With Charleston coming to town this weekend, who we're going to talk about in just a few minutes.
We should have gotten a point out of Louisville, though. If you would have told me 1 point Louisville, 1 point here, I wouldn't have been so upset. Bad fields away.
Right.
Just looking at these stats, I just read the all-time on turf, but all-time on the road stat is terrible. 25 wins, 43 losses, and 32 draws. That's our road form. Oof. Woof.
That's not even a woof. That's more like a
vomit in my mouth.
Did someone say poutine?
Oh,
gotcha. Bad tonight again. Like we mentioned earlier, picking up some of the cards, a little unnecessary. Ugly. The game itself got pretty ugly there for a few minutes. I was kind of impressed that it was only 5 minutes of stoppage in the second half.
That pissed me off.
Felt like it could have been six or seven at least.
Should have been six or seven at least.
Let's talk about there were a couple disputed points of contention between everybody and everybody else. The Cincinnati player sent off, right call or not?
Completely right call. I know they said there's no intent, and there wasn't. That wasn't a vicious tackle. But you see the dude coming right at you. You don't stab him in the leg or abdomen with your spikes. Like, it wasn't even like he clipped him, you know, like toe poked him. He studs into his. You can't do that. It sucks. And you could see the player was very upset. And rightfully so. He didn't, it wasn't intentional. He wasn't enraged, and it wasn't like a Steven Gerrard lunging 2 foot studs up tackle, but it was the right call.
Yeah, I'll definitely wasn't in any kind of intent. I think if his foot had not been above the waist, that may have gotten out of there with a yellow on that one. But when they slow it down and you see it on the replay, he actually gets him twice. He gets him once in the stomach and then brings his foot down again and catches him like right in the crotch.
Yeah, you can't go studs up. You just can't show your studs. I mean, it's quite simple. And so it's a red. And then I don't think you can. Well, go ahead. It was a red, and it should have been, and it was a correct call.
All right. So the thing I think you were about to say, Joe Cole, should that have been a red card?
No, the player was falling down. Joe Cole was trying to. He didn't hit him with the studs. Right. Joe Cole was going to try to score a goal, and the guy fell while Joe Cole was trying to scissor kick, and ended up getting a. I don't even think he hit him with the boot. I think he hit him with his like shin guard.
I think it was his knee, actually. Like,
yeah,
knee
to it was.
Side. Yeah, I don't, to me, that's, you know, maybe you could make a case for a yellow in that situation, but the guy was backing up. He they even, you know, said it a couple times on the commentary, and he wasn't aware necessarily. You know, he knew Joe Cole was there, but he didn't know Joe Cole was there. And it's you know, it's like when the birds try and fly through the jet plane engines, like two things can't be in the same spot, and something bad's going to come out of it. Looked like he was okay at the end of the match, and I saw someone's, I think it was one of the Cincy podcast guys' wife tweeted, look, not every Cincinnati player has been kicked in the head by Joe Cole. Everyone else is jealous.
Yeah.
You kind of got to look at it
that way.
Badge
of honor.
Yeah. Get a free souvenir from that game. Uglies?
There wasn't too much ugly. Again, we sat back after we went ahead early. I think maybe Cincy flopping there for a bit was kind of annoying, but you get used to that. In a game as physical as that was, they're going to start to take advantage, especially when the ref decides halfway or over halfway through the match, he's going to start calling things.
Do you think that influences his decision to give a red in that situation? Was the fact that the game had gotten a little steamy, and he was going to try and simmer it down a little bit? And
no, because I think there was other tackles that might have warranted that should have. I think when Nano earned his yellow, that was a thing that should have. I just think it should have happened earlier. I think cards should have come. I mean, I'm not for yellow cards early. But I think there should have been some earlier in the game or something going on, because that game got out of hand quick. And I thought the red was going to happen to Luke Bowden before it ever happened to a Cincy player. But I'm glad it worked out that way. Not that it changed the game at all.
You brought up Luke Bowden. I have to go back and check some of the preseason stuff, because when he gets that yellow card, I was about to tweet out that Luke Bowden yellow card might become the new Georgie Ristoff yellow card. But then they followed up with that's his second yellow. And again, it's in, what, 5 games, but it's not quite an every game kind of a situation. It's not. It hasn't reached Ben Sweat yellow card proportions yet.
Oh, well, yeah. I think that was his 2 yellows came in the last 2 games.
Yeah, because I honestly can't recall that many, if there were any players getting cards in the home games at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. The discipline has gone out the window on this road trip, which I hope we can find it. But again, when you're controlling the game, when you're winning, when you're possessing, they're fouling you. So
right,
it doesn't really matter.
All right, so I tweeted out earlier. We had a couple people ask about it, so I put it out there. We're going to give this a try and see. We can do some open phone lines after we wrap up here. So if you want to call in now and get in line to get your voice heard, the number is 727-201-2860. We're going to have to get this number changed after the show, aren't we?
Probably.
I think we can do that. Man of the match?
Oh, I haven't even given that any thought. Let's go with Marcel Schaefer just for the goal.
Okay. I thought about that, and I'm going to be the contrarian who makes Steven Cundiff happy by not just giving it to the guy who scored a goal, even though it was a glorious goal. I'm actually going to go with Nanchoff on this one. It looked like, and you know, not necessarily for any particular bit of play, but it looked like Cincinnati came out and said, look, being physical against these guys seemed to have worked a little bit for Louisville. We're going to try some of the same stuff. And Nano gave as good as he got, or as good as anyone else on the team got, and kind of settled down knocked that idea out of their head that that's how you're going to play against us.
I think because literally he was knocking them down. Like, he was flying out there. I'll give you that. But
Hashtag Agro Nano.
Yeah, he was definitely very and more power to him. Damian Lowe was giving some shots out there. Yeah. Neil Collins screaming at Jibby was probably the highlight of that match for me.
I just imagined that after that happened, Jibby was running around trying to find someone who could actually explain to him what Neil just said.
I don't remember where they said Jibby was from, but I'm sure there's a language barrier there.
And look, he put in some time in Norway. He was a top scorer in Norway in 2010. I don't think that even helps him. Having spent the time there and getting used to some foreign languages, nothing is quite like talking to Neil Collins for the first time.
He's not that hard, difficult to understand. He's really not.
All right, so our stat from tonight.
Again, I forgot about this part and closed the tab. It was distribution again, because that's my thing. Let me get back there. There's just something. There was something that stood out to me. Distribution. 75 long passes again. Our passing accuracy was also only about 80%. And I say only because this team is much better than that. We tried 26 crosses. But we're better. Our passing accuracy in the opponent's half, which was like hovering in the high 80s, low 90, like 90 in the beginning of the year, it was at 71% in this game. We're getting a little sloppy. That's credit to FC Cincinnati. They pressed us pretty high and pretty hard and didn't give us the space we had in the first three games. But with Marcel Schaefer, Nano, and this team, this midfield, we shouldn't need that much time and space. We should be able to make those passes and have the vision that we come to know.
It's kind of weirdly. I don't say it's kind of weird, but looking at this, it's kind of skewed a little bit, I think, by Dakers going off with 15 minutes left. Because up until that point, one of the things that they've kind of talked about all year long is how the Rowdies have dominated possession. At halftime, we were actually down. It was like 55% to 45%. Early in second half, we kind of fought back in there and took a little bit of an advantage. It went back and forth. Ends up with the Rowdies with about 56%, Cincinnati at 44%. But again, they played without down a man for the last 15 minutes, so I don't know how much you can read into that. It's the first game where our intent to possess the ball a lot has really been challenged and challenged effectively. And if that's going to be the cornerstone of your game plan, then that's not a good thing to see if you're not maintaining that edge. Over 400 possessions again, 400 passes again, about 10 fewer passes than Saturday in Louisville. Fewer long passes, but still up there, 75 out of your 408. And then you mentioned the accuracy issues, so yeah, I can see that. And then again, going back to this week or today as opposed to Saturday, 7 total shots, again only 2 on target. So getting shots on target is the next thing to me, in my opinion, that's got to be worked on. And I feel like we've Spencer said that right after the game, shots on goal, and we've been preaching, take a shot and see what happens, but the shots on goal are usually infinitely more useful than just shots in general.
Yeah, you kind of have to put them on target for them to be effective.
Kind of helps out just a little bit. All right, anything else for that?
No, let's forget this one, move on to Saturday, because screw it all, we're going to go back streaking or something. Get off did she just mute me? I don't know what's happening.
No, I didn't. You can still hear you. Oh, did the Rose do it? I just had to mute myself because I was coughing there.
Yeah. She came flying across the keyboard. I didn't know what happened.
Again, if you want to call
comes
in.
Again.
Jesus Christ.
Skitter, 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 skitter. Again, if you guys want to call in and speak your mind, 727-201-2860.
Rose is our phone screener.
Not everyone can have Micah Rotunda, right?
Yeah, right? Must be nice.
Want to do the shout out this time before I wait to the end of the episode like last time. We are a part of the Beautiful Game Network. Check out BGNFM on Twitter, the BGNFM, or go to BGM.FM. They've expanded. We've expanded. I guess we can say we. Brought in the Back Chat show, which is Colorado Switchbacks. So that's cool. If we get a chance to maybe meet up with them in the playoffs somehow, in the championship game, I guess it would be, we can chat with those guys.
I think in the preview they lost to Louisville, but Rose decided to do her own edit, and I was.
Oh, is this her typing over here now? I can see.
I'm moving it around, but yeah, she. If you looked at the notes, it said like Louis and then a bunch of symbols and stairs. So I don't know if they lost to Leicester or.
I was like, why is Dan editing the stuff we haven't talked about yet? all right, so let's go into the Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
We're not playing Cincinnati again.
In July.
Oh, not for
Go up to go to the Charleston preview. I'm going to throw the phone number out here on Twitter one more time real quick. And who knows, we'll see what we get. And but yeah, Charleston is coming this weekend. The Battery, drain the battery, as the ads are saying, which is a maybe a little low hanging fruit, but it's still pretty good regardless.
I wanted like assault the battery.
There you go. I was trying to think of something like the Energizer Bunny or something,
but they're a cannon. Like seize the battery or charge. Well, you don't want to charge it.
Wait, can we just say Wenger out then?
Yeah. They better have a couple of those signs.
Especially considering the latest full kit wanker that's been making the
I was going to say, no wonder why we're screwed as a country. Anyway.
Make Wenger out again?
Yeah. we're at Charleston. I expect a good match there.
Yeah, I think so. They are Atlanta United's affiliate. And it's kind of, it's paid off a little bit with one of their key players we're talking about in a second. But going back to last year, they finished sixth in the East, so they were in the playoff spots but did not host a home game. Knocked off Cincinnati, our opponent tonight, in the quarterfinals. Lost to Louisville, our opponent from Saturday, in the semifinals. And then this year, now I see what happened. We've combined the... last three games with the last year's results. Okay, I think I see it here, though.
Okay.
Not a problem.
I don't know what happened. She just went ham on the keyboard.
So last three games for them, they won last week 5-0 against Rochester at home. They lost to Pittsburgh 1-2 at home. And then they went to Charlotte, and I think we're calling that the Charleston Derby, and won that one 2-0 to open the season. They also, like us and like most of the teams, Cincinnati played a 4-3-3 tonight, but like most of the teams it feels like we've seen so far, play the same 4-2-3-1 formation. Probably there are three key players to watch, and I'm stealing all this. I want to make sure I give these shout-out. They're stealing all this from a season preview on Dirty South Soccer, which is an Atlanta United blog, and they kind of threw a preview out there for their affiliate team. Players to watch, their forward, Romario Williams. I know he's had a couple goals this year already. He's on loan from Atlanta, played for them last year also. Midfielder, Justin Portillo. He's a defensive midfielder, kind of plays in the Vingard spot, if we're going to compare it to our lineup. He's labeled as defensive mid, but... plays more almost of a if you were doing a like a diamond, like he controls the offense. It all kinds of runs through him. He also takes the set pieces and the penalties and stuff like that. Very high percentage passer. and another midfielder, Michael Chang, who would play in the Leo Fernandez position, creative attacking midfielder that they are surprised has not kind of moved on to MLS at this point. So be interesting to watch these guys play. This is the their 25th anniversary. Been playing since like 93. So yeah, they're still younger than you.
Yeah, surprisingly. I wonder if their song is like Everybody Michael Chang Tonight. Like, get that going.
But... Everybody. Oh, speaking of interesting sounds from games, I was watching this you know, on the ESPN3, and I had actually listened to it. I ran it through the soundboard, listened through my headphones that I've got on, which are apparently very high quality, because they, I don't know if this is something Cincinnati always does, but they found one fan who said dropped nothing but F-bombs like the entire game and stuck a mic right next to him.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I was amused.
With the very creative chant of F that guy, F that guy, F that. Wow, that's real good.
I mean, to be fair, the rest of the crowd can only say, like, come on, you FCC, and I was just... Do better.
Look, they're just advocating for net neutrality. We talked about this.
Yeah, they saw a booby at halftime and were very upset.
They were mad about the Super Bowl trophy presentation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of fun. Along those same lines, did you see the FCC Twitter account and the, I don't remember if it was Rowdy's Game Day or just regular Rowdy's account, had a little back and forth over Tampa versus Tampa Bay and... FCC versus FC Cincy.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I decided to just constantly use FCC.
It was chippy everywhere tonight. I liked it.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. I like chippy Twitter.
Chippy official Twitter is always fun. So going to this game this weekend, lineup changes. We'll say from tonight, I think we'll see kind of the regulars back in there. I think you'll see Vingard back in there. It was good to see Leo back in and played for the majority of the game. So hopefully we'll see him start again. I thought it was kind of a smart move to, you know, I kind of had the feeling that no matter what, the idea was to bring in Cole and Georgie near the end and just keep them a little bit loose and a little bit ready for this weekend. And it just happened to fit the situation, too. I just, something in me just says that those subs were planned out ahead of time to keep those guys, you know, ready
I
for
I think
this
if
weekend.
We were up like 2-3, I think you sit them.
Well,
and
yeah.
Them.
If it's like 2-0, 3-0, something like that, probably, but. I don't think the idea going to this game was it was ever going to be like that, though.
No.
Although, until their last game, Cincinnati really hadn't scored a lot of goals and had a couple odd losses, but they were all on the road. So hopefully that bodes well for when they come down here.
Yeah, hopefully we can beat them here because we need to get back into the win column quick.
But what, second, third game in a row that DeShorn's been up top?
Third, yeah.
Yeah, third. So, you know, the first two games were kind of because Leo was out and Georgie had shifted over. Tonight, Georgie started out on the bench, you know, seems like as a resting move. Think Georgie gets back up top on Saturday, or is DeShorn kind of stake a claim to that spot?
No, I don't mean to be fair. I don't mean to be mean either, but what has he done up there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, could have had that one tonight, but was way off sides, and, you know, it's easy to take a shot on goal when everyone stopped playing. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Wouldn't surprise me if they stick with him, though. I think that might kind of be the game plan.
It shouldn't be. Put Georgie, I mean, yeah, he didn't score tonight. Obviously, he played for, what, 20 minutes, and he didn't score against Louisville. But he's 3 goals in 5 games. Ride that. Keep it going. And the offense seems to be more dynamic with him in it. There seems to be more movement. We said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. The chemistry between Joe and Georgie seems to be a lot better. So why we're not using two veterans and that know each other well and on and off the pitch, really, and just have them go, like, just ride it out. George is your all-time leading scorer. Like, why do we keep experimenting without him? I know he's 31, but like,
he scored 3 goals in 3 games and has been all over the place. So we should be using him up top. I don't see, no offense to Deshaun Brown. I know he was a headlining signing and we talked him up. But the, right now, the way the dice has fallen, you got to keep going with Georgie.
It's a fair point. Joe Cole, I think, obviously will be back in on Saturday. Did you hear any of that? Oh, you didn't get a chance to hear the show. Did, as I say, actually heard any of his interview with the Sirius Monday show?
Nope. Just what they tweeted out.
Really good. You know, a lot, some very similar to that piece that was in the ESPN FC article talking about him. I don't know if, I can't remember if that was earlier this week or last week sometime. But a nice little write up on there. Yeah, I mean, guy is and like Jake tweeted us tonight, you know, 10 minutes in the game and Joe's off the bench shouting instructions at the team. So, you know, there's no doubt he's in it. And that's, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend and I can't remember what brought it on. But just talking about what, you know, having a guy like Joe Cole on the team, like he's legitimately, like, I love watching him. And not because of who he was before he came here, but because of what he does when he's here now. Like, he hasn't dialed it back at all, which is fantastic.
He's intense. He's 100%. He wants to win every game. And obviously, if he's not on the pitch, he's going to be telling everybody what to be doing on, who that is on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, you put those qualities in any other player, and that's instantly your fan favorite, regardless of you know, what European team he played for or what trophies he's won in another country. Very glad to, as always, glad to have him around. So let's see if Cole's back in the middle, and so you go back with the Cole and then Leo and Nano on the wings.
Yeah, and then Vingard, Schaefer behind, and then the back line doesn't change.
Okay. And then save Deshaun possibly for a late substitute to either close it out or push for a, you know, a go ahead or another goal, something like that. Yeah, bring. What do you think about Darwin Jones getting a start? How did he play for the whole game?
I'm glad he did. I like what I saw in tonight. I think his speed on the wings is an asset. He's not afraid to go at people. Not quite Leo Fernandez level, but I definitely like what I saw. I would like to use him maybe in the 65th minute off the bench for Nano or something.
Okay.
Not save him for like the 80th minute.
Like we seem to save all our subs for.
Yeah. I mean, right now, so far, that is my biggest pet peeve of the season is lack of substitutes. But, you know, we are the unused substitutes. Maybe it's job security. I don't know.
Maybe we should change our name to the early substitutes.
Yeah, right. Like, let's maybe try to put a signal out there.
We'll change our name to the first half goals and early second half substitutes.
That sounds good.
And see what happens. All right. So, score prediction:
2-0 Rowdies.
I always go with 2-1, don't I?
You've gone 3-1, 2-1, 2-1, 1-1, 2-2.
3-0.
All Rowdies, right.
Of course. All right. So we will be out there this weekend. We'll have the tents. Are we doing a show again?
No. Let's just.
Are the Big Storm guys coming?
I don't know. We can have the equipment, but I don't think they're coming. So
we need to set up a time to do another event with them.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
All right, so we'll be out there. I'll have the tent, have the and actually we'll have it, the legs weighed down this time, so it won't feel like it's going to fly away. We're going to have some fun and games out there too. I have some things hidden in the trunk. I have some junk in my trunk.
This is getting awkward, so let's take this to the wrap up.
I already DM'd you what it was.
I know you. I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about your phrasing here.
Yeah, you're the one talking about there's a weasel on the keyboard.
Everybody at this point is well aware that there is a weasel around here.
All right, so we'll wrap it up. our wee love, or at least my wee lovey for this week. I didn't put it in the notes, not because I'm trying to surprise you, Dan, but just because I forgot about it. We're going to send out a wee lovey to Donald Bruce for making the trip to Louisville, spreading the podcast scarf love out there to other people, and representing the fan base down here. Oh, we got to do one more thing.
What?
I knew I was going to almost forget this. The Mob on Saturday is having their first charity drive of the weekend. I mean, of the season. They're going to be collecting pet food donations for the Humane Society. You can bring your donations over to Thirsty First on Central Avenue, where the Mob has the tailgate. Just walk over toward Central Avenue. You'll see where it is. There'll be plenty of green and gold outside and inside as well. They've got stickers, little Mob logo stickers are given away for donations, and they're going to raffle off two tickets to the match. So bring some food, help some pets out, because animals are, in general, way cooler than us to begin with.
Side note, it just dawned on me here, too. Saturday is going to be a little crazy down there. There's that science, the March for Science or whatever, protest march thing.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be all kinds of people marching to and not to the match.
Yeah, so I think that starts at 10 a.m. down there, and so I don't know how many people are really going to march for science, especially right now, but I just know that it's going to be a bit cray-cray in St. Pete, because they even listed the listed Al Lang as a spot to park. I don't know.
Isn't there a Saturday morning market?
I was going to say, I don't know if you're going to be able to park there because of the market, and if there's not a market, I'm pretty sure the rowdies are going to be like, you know, we like science and all, but no.
Hey, I'm a big fan of science. Taught it for several years. But yeah, let's keep the parking lot open. I mean, you know, if you're really going to go up there and want to do it, call me. I'll come pick you up and drop you off, as long as I can have an open spot at the stadium on Saturday. But we'll see you out there. Go see the Mob. Bring some pet food donations. I might donate one of the couple cats we have lying around the house. You're not going to donate the weasel, are you?
No, she's like the only thing that brings me joy in this world.
Look, man, we go two games without a win, and this is what you're reduced to?
Yeah, me and my ferret. That's it. Wow. It's us against the world, man.
Not
us
even Big Storm anymore?
Yeah. She's my ride or die.
I almost had to send you out to Big Storm today because they were advertising a new lager they were going to have, and see if you could grab me some to bring on Saturday.
I might be able to stop up there Saturday before. I have a growler now. I may have, you know, purchased one of those.
Nice. Jake, I just saw your message. I agree 100%. I won't read it on air, but yes, I totally agree. But we love you again to Donald Bruce. You have anyone you want to throw in there?
No, I hate everybody.
God, we got to win again. I need Happy Dan back.
Yeah, right? Like... We were winning. I loved everybody. I was happy. I was excited. Now it's
like
just
you have
me,
Jim Jeffries tickets and you're still not happy.
True, but that's not until June, so something needs to give.
When what show is that? Like what date?
What's the tour called? Let me.
No, like what's the date of the show?
6/16. Friday, June 16th, 2017, oh, okay. At 8:30 p.m.
I was gonna say. Oh, make sure I didn't. I was wondering if he was gonna. Run over with the game. But speaking of that, I'll be there this Saturday, but I will not be there next Saturday.
All right.
Father-daughter dance with my daughter's Girl Scout troop. So it's my annual miss a good Rowdies game to spend time with my daughter, which is obviously more important.
Yes, 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 yes. I will be there.
She's not right by me. I'm actually saying that because I believe it. But so I will... so it means I've got a spare ticket for the 29th. If anyone's interested, give me a shout. Or maybe we'll turn it. You know, we could do some kind of contest with it, with the junk that's in my trunk.
And we'll discuss that later. Whoops.
All right. So once again, we love you to Donald and everybody else. I love everybody, even if Dan hates you all.
I love everybody.
Why are you shaking your head side to side on the webcam over here?
I do. I love you all.
Thank you guys for tuning in, for listening. Thank you guys for who support us, whether it's through Patreon, which if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/theunusedsubspod. Remember, if we get to $100 a month, Dan will eat poutine on air at a tailgate. Actually, that reminds me. I need to stop at that place that
No, you don't. No, yeah. You don't.
I won't eat it in front of you.
I'll just go to Thirsty First for a bit. You can have your poutine, and then I'll come back.
Or whether you're subscribing to Fubo through the link on our website, we get a little change, chunk of change for that too. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Google Play or whatever the heck your podcast program of choice is, if it offers you the opportunity to rate and review us, feel free to give us nice ratings and reviews. Is she licking the microphone? The weasel, that is.
Yes, Rose is licking the microphone.
And once again, thank you to our friends at Wolfface for the theme music, to Radio St. Pete for letting us bounce this show around different times and days and everything else we end up doing with it. Our guys down at Shamrock for the awesome watch party setup. I didn't get to go out there tonight, but hopefully there were some good groups out there. And last but not least, our new friends at Big Storm for making awesome beer and being friends of the Rowdies. We hope to see and talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, they got me through Easter with all of that beer I bought.
I was going to say that. Man, you had Easter Sunday Funday, didn't you?
It was 90. I had a Crowler, a 64-ounce Growler, and a 4-pack, all of Tropic Pressure, and none of it came home.
My goodness. Wait. Tropic Pressure or Palm Bender?
It was Tropic Pressure. I did not go Palm Bender.
Is that the like cinnamon and hibiscus one?
Yes, and it's flipping delicious too.
Oh, I know. I had that during the Florida Cup games, and that's the one I was telling him. That's one of the things we talked about. Like, I hadn't read the bottle to see what it was all about, and then I took a sip and I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." And then I read it and I was like, "Huh." And then I took a couple more sips and I was like, "This is really good."
My whole family, like, were like, "We don't really like beer." And I was like, "Just try it." And they were like, "This is actually really good. I could drink that." And I was like, "I know. So let's all take a family trip to Big Storm."
There you go. Let's just have Easter there from now on. You you told them not to pass that over, right?
Oh.
I fit it in there, right? Was that good? Was that not good?
Yeah, no, that was good.
It worked. All right. We'll have a new new issue of The Bench out this week. And then there'll be one next week, too. It's nice to be home again this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see you guys there. And come on, you Rowdies.
Yes, let's do this.